Child.
Girl, I was like, baby, when that happened, I was like, oh, y'all in slavery for real. Like, y'all.
Okay, but can we talk about it? Y'all, there was really some house slaves out here.
Y'all.
They might not have been out in the sun picking that indigo, that cotton, that tobacco, but they was out here making sure that Massa's house was happy and his bed was warm by force.
By force, like a hostage situation. Hello everyone, this is Alex.
And this is Em.
Welcome to the latest episode of The Good, The Bad, The Basic.
This is the podcast for anyone who enjoys binging new TV series and revisiting old favorites. On this podcast, we'll be discussing what we love, what we hate, and what's just a bit problematic about the TV and movies that we're addicted to, though not necessarily in that order. This week, we'll be concluding our first impression season with a discussion of the hit AMC original, Interview with the Vampire.
Set in 1910s New Orleans, this hit series based on the best-selling novel by Anne Rice, this fantasy drama follows the relationships of vampires Louis and Lestat and their protege Claudia. So does Interview with the Vampire live up to its namesake? Is it worth watching? Stay tuned.
All right, everyone, here are some details about the show. Interview with the Vampire is classified as gothic horror, gothic romance, southern gothic, vampire drama, and dark fantasy. It is an AMC original, and it's streaming on that network, and it was released on October 2nd of 2022. It's important to note that this series will have a second and third season at least, because it was actually renewed for two more seasons ahead of its debut. This is how much critics love the series. It was created by Rollin Jones, and it stars Jacob Anderson as Louis de Pontulac, our protagonist, Sam Reed as Lestat de Liancourt, who is Louis and Claudia's maker, Eric Boghossian as Daniel Malloy, the journalist interviewing Louis, Bailey Bass as Claudia, Lestat's protege and Louis's adopted daughter, Asad Zaman as Rashid slash Arman, who is Louis's familiar, Kaylin Coleman as Grace de Pointe-du-Lac, Louis' sister. Ray Dong Chong as Florence de Pointe-du-Lac, Louis' mother. Chris Stack as Thomas, aka Tom Anderson, the owner of the Fair Play Saloon that Louis is originally working as a pimp in when we open the series. And last but not least, Dana Greer as Bricktop Williams, originally a prostitute working for Louis, who was then promoted when he opens his own saloon. So these are our major players in that first series. Let's talk about it. Let's jump in. Obviously, the first thing we want to discuss is that Louis de Pointe-du-Lac is a character who is now race-bent from the original series. How do we feel about that?
Incredible. I think it works so well. This show is helmed by AMC and I think the executive producers were executive producers that worked on Breaking Bad and Halt Catch Fire, and I think that the showrunner is Rollin Jones. Rollin Jones, and they did the show, and it's incredible. I feel like you can't. It's incredible. Obviously, it is a reboot remake from the original book, Interview with the Vampire by Anne Rice, but then also from the movie, the 90s movie with Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt. But they're more doing the books. Okay, so fair to be very transparent, I have never read Anne Rice's Interview with the Vampire, but because Anne Rice is very like much the girl who like started all this shit in terms of like vampires, like in modern media. I would definitely say like in the past, I would definitely say like when, probably from like whenever the book originally came out, which was, I want to say in the 80s, early 90s.
The books were released in the 80s, I believe. I can double check that. But yeah, the books released in the 80s and the original Interview with the Vampire was released in 1994, the film.
Right.
But yeah, let me double check on the series. But yeah, she is like the reigning queen.
She sort of is the
still
queen.
Is. Not Stephanie Meyer.
It ain't yeah, Stephanie not Stephanie Meyer. Meyer. It's definitely like, if we talk about like people's daughter, like daughters and stuff, like this is definitely okay. No, so like the book was originally published in 1976, and which makes sense to me because that's what I'm saying. She really started all of this shit. Like, if you're any like vampire lore as we know it, in like in films, in TV, like obviously there's Bram Stoker's Dracula, which is like the OG. But, like, if there's, mm-hmm. like, the next person who, like, defined the seminal work of, like, vampires and how we experience them and, like, our cultural moment for, like, maybe, like, since the 70s forward, it's Anne Rice. Anne Rice is the one who did all this. Like, she's that girl. she definitely gave us vampires you wanted to fuck. And so, like, in truth and fashion, I have not read the book, but because it is this very seminal text, I have a good working knowledge of the original book. And the original book is very, like, queer-coded. It's very queer-coded. So when Rollin Jones is like, we're just doing the books, it made perfect, seeing this interpretation of Louis and Lestat, like, made perfect sense to me. I was like, yeah, because they've always been gay. Like, that's kind of always been the tension in the book.
Right, even in the original movie, I remember watching the original movie with, you know, Tom Cruise as Rista and Brad Pitt as Louis, and, you know, constantly asking myself, are they going to kiss?
Yeah, it's like, are they going to, because that's in the books. So, but you know, like in the 90s, we were like gay people. I don't know about all that. So, but we've since evolved. Well, not much, but enough that we can, sort of have this show. And so, like you said, Louis is race bent because Anne Rice, even though she is that girl, even though she did a lot of things, that lady is a racist. that lady is.
Weren't they all? You can go ahead and scratch that.
That lady is a racist and has a lot of weird stuff around race. In the original books, Louis is a plantation owner. He's a plantation owner in the 19th century. And a lot of the musings in the book are basically Louis being like, isn't it lame how like they don't want me to like own people? Like, can't you see right. that I'm in such a state? Like, feel bad for me. And it's like, no. Like, so the series, so this AMC series has done something. They did like this thing where they race bent Louis and changed the original time of the book. They've jumped the story from, I think they're like in the 1800s, they jumped it to 1910s, and using Storyville, New Orleans, but specifically Storyville in New Orleans at that time, which is a real place in a, please just go, you know, Google Scholar that, please. If you don't know what Storyville is, it's a very interesting, fascinating part of history. With New Orleans Storyville as this backdrop. And the text is made all the richer. Like, it is so good because there's so many things in subtext and undercurrents that is now, like, happening in this rendering of the show that is beautiful and brilliant and devastating and so much, I think, to be gained and taken from and just really, really incredible. Very, like, you know, we talk about race bending and, like, it usually goes so wrong because people don't know what to do. And I would say that this series is definitive, from in my opinion, is definitively, like, what you need to – is, like, what you need to do and, like, or, like, what needs to happen when you make – the decision to race bend a character. You have to think about the historical and political context of like what that identity is and means, and still be, but still be true to who that specific person is. And I think that is, the show accomplishes it.
Right. I agree with that. Just a small correction there, though. The original Interview with the Vampire is actually set in the late 1700s, and then we jump it to the early 1900s.
Okay, sorry.
Right. I think that the Louis character is just as complex as he was in the original Interview with the Vampires. Now, I did read 3 books from that original series. I have read Interview with the Vampire, I have read Prince Lestat, and I have read The Queen of the Damned, which also became a really successful film. But there are a ton of books in this series. I think there are 12.
Yeah, there's a bunch.
I think the last one was published in 2018. I'm not reading all of those. But Anne Rice is well known for creating very complex characters, very morally gray characters, to the point where you really don't know who is villain and who is victim, who is the hero and who's the anti-hero in any particular situation. And I think the show remains very true to that.
Yeah. So let's get into it, really. So the show definitely is interested in the domestic, I think, drama of it all, which I personally love as an angle, but let's kind of get into it. So we start with the introduction of Daniel Malloy, who is our interviewer. He is interviewing the vampire, Louis. And Daniel, and how it's set up in the show is Daniel and Louis have met before. They've tried this before, and basically the first time they did it, it was a mess. It didn't work, like, because,
right,
for a lot of reasons, mostly because Daniel was an addict and Louis was kind of not in the place he was now. But we jumped to 2020, and modern day, and Daniel has since grown up a lot. He's dealing with a cancer diagnosis, and Louis has also since, you know, lived and changed, and in the way that he, I guess, whatever that means for him personally. And so Louis reaches out to Daniel again to be like, hey, let's try this thing again. And Daniel is like, okay, sure, fine. I'm not really doing anything better. I'm not doing anything else of worth or value. So thus we are jet-setted to Dubai, where Louis is currently living, and thus begins, and Daniel sits in front of him with his recording equipment out and ready to interview, and thus begins the tale. And we are taken back to 1910s New Orleans, and Louis is sort of giving us the rundown on his life, and we meet like these initial things are already. So Louis is like Creole, like he's Louisiana Creole. So
yes, he is.
Yes. So they are high yellow, and so they are rich. It's sort of implied that how Louis has like their initial fortune is that when his father, who we I think assume is white, has died, he gave his like light-skinned mistress and kids like a holding of the sugar, right, of the sugar plantation. And so Louis has since taken that initial sort of inheritance and turned it into more money by essentially running several brothels in Storyville, and that is how do they live. But we're introduced to Louis, his mother, his sister, and his brother, who is suffering from mental health challenges, and his best friend Lily. But he's very much living his life as like a closeted, doing the best he can, living his life as a closeted man.
Yeah, he's actually doing a really good job of it. Yeah. Louis is not particularly effeminate, nor does he actually have male partners, like a relationship. He has what he calls, quote, dalliances here and there. Right. But no primary person. So it's actually rather easy for him to stay in the closet. And these are his issues with his race and with his sexuality are what Lestat plays with when it comes time to, when he meets Louis and decides that this is who he wants and starts to pursue him rather aggressively.
Very, exactly. I mean, it's interesting rewatching it. By the way, like, this is my favorite series of, like, 2022. Like, this is probably the one show that I really desperately loved. Probably Beyond the Bear. Like, I fucking love this show. But it's, rewatching it, it's like, it is. He's, like, Lestat very much hones in on how vulnerable Louis is, even though Louis himself does not realize, I think, how vulnerable he is, right?
Yeah, he doesn't. He doesn't. He thinks he has a really good life. He thinks he's in a position of power. He sees himself the way that someone sees themselves when they don't think they can have any more than what they do. And he doesn't understand how his thinking about his situation has always been limited by his color and the way it's perceived by those around him. And it isn't until Louis points it out that he starts to see the ways that he is habitually disrespected.
And it's like, and it's weird because it's like he, it's hard because Louis is sort of like living in a double consciousness. It's like he is in this position of power. They have his money, but like you said, he's disrespected. These people who he makes money for, these white men, like they think he's kind of a joke. Like he's a joke to them. Like, even though he is very much, he's by far a better businessman than all of them put together. And he's trying to, and obviously, like, he loves his family very much. He loves his sister. He loves his mother. He loves his brother even with all the sort of problems but that relationship with his family is complicated. There is tensions there for lots of reasons because of how they're making their money with the prostitutes, also because of, also, you know, they kind of get that he's, like, they don't, obviously they don't know what the word gay means, but they get that he's off. Like,
I think there was a very much a don't ask, don't tell policy at home.
Yes, there's very much a don't ask, don't. Exactly. I think that's a great way of phrasing it. There's like a don't ask, don't tell policy, like, situation with his family. And so like all of this is like hard and weird and complicated. And like we said, his best friend is like a prostitute who he hangs out with every night. And even then, and that's how he, like, is covering for, like, you know, not being straight. Like, that's how he covers to basically his family.
Right.
They
do say that they have slept together a couple of times. It's just that he generally doesn't.
He generally doesn't. Like, she later on, she says, she admits to Lestat that, like, they don't, all they do is talk. Like, she's like, I told him that all we do is talk. Like, we don't really, when you come here, like, all we do is talk. We don't really do anything. And so one night he is walking, you know, there's a situation at the business and he's sorting it out. And Louis is sorting it out. And when he is finishing, you know, getting it together, that is when Lestat first sees him and, like you said, and proceeds to aggressively pursue him. And Lestat is an insane individual
can we talk about it?
Because let me tell you something. If a white man were trying to date me and then proceeded to say, oh, I just made my transatlantic journey here by ship to my face, like, I'd be like, okay, like, I would be like, no, like, this is crazy. Like, you're a crazy person. Like, literally not, like, a not well person at all.
No, Lestat is truly unwell and he's unhinged. And I think one of the more manipulative aspects of this character is that he points out to Louis how he's being disrespected by other people, right? And how, like, they're manipulating the politics of race against him in their favor, right?
Right.
Okay, that's real.
That's real as fuck. It's true.
It's true.
But are you also not manipulating
him? That's what I'm saying. But you are doing you also, the same thing.
Are you also not using not only, maybe not your whiteness, but you are using the privilege of your money and your literally centuries of experience against him?
Let's be so fucking serious.
Like, sir? You are not the hero in this story.
It's like you are
not.
Be
for real.
Be for real. Like, be honest. And so the turning, so yeah, so he is, Lestal like aggressively pursues Louis, does like this whole like fake out thing where he invites Lily. He's like, hey, like basically like, let's have a threesome, but like, it's really you and me that are going to fuck, but like, we're not, but I've brought a woman to make you feel safe. Yeah.
Like, but she's, like, the buffer, like, which is, like, the worst kind of beard, because you're, like, basically a beard for two people now.
Well, at least Lestat is genuinely bisexual, but my God.
Yeah, Lestat is genuinely bisexual, which is interesting as well. But this man is not a good person. Lestat is not a good person. And I think when we can establish this, like, for real, we can really, like, start talking about the show genuinely and like sincerely.
Right. And so, and that's, and so then that brings me to what I love about this Daniel character. Like, the show definitely, like, I mean, listen, the show, shout out to budget, because like, the show is very beautiful. It's gorgeously shot, particularly this pilot episode. That scene where Louis and his brother are walking the streets of Nola early morning, like between all the houses, is so gorgeous.
Oh, right after his sister's wedding, when they're after, like, trying to get on the rooftop.
Even before that, when they're going to church.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I like that scene.
It's very beautiful. And then yes, when they, so let's talk about that moment. And then also very gorgeous when they, like after the sister, so their sister is getting married and the sister gets married and him and his brother climb the roof top, and it's clear that this is something that they just sort of have done all the time,
mm-hmm.
through right. their childhood, because they can do it sort of with their eyes closed, and they climb the rooftop to watch the sun come up together. And when that happens, Louis's brother kills himself, and mm-hmm. that is definitely. And this is also post the dinner. Like, so Louis and Lestat start hanging out. And basically, and like Louis, who we've all established, very much loves his family, is close to his family, despite the tension, brings mm-hmm. Louis to dinner to be like, look at my, like, it's like, this is somebody that I want to spend time with, mom, sis, bro, like, meet him. And
right. Because and at first, The tension appears to be more of a religious nature, right? Like, Grace really loves her brother, but the mother and the brother are framed as disapproving of Louis, not because of his sexuality, but because of the way that he makes the money that is financing the whole family.
Yeah, they're both very, like, not about that. But, like we said, he's financing your life.
Exactly. He's paying for their home. He's paying for everything on them. Literally nobody here got a job. Nobody here got a job. So then when Lestat comes into the situation, they, especially the mother, finds a new reason to dislike him, right? Because it's almost like maybe the thing they didn't know or suspected but never confirmed is now being thrown in their face.
It's now generally being confirmed. And listen, it's that, but it's also like Lestat doesn't really do himself any fucking favors. He's rude. He is very nasty. He's very rude to them. Like, I don't know.
He's rude to Louis. Literally, the first time they meet, he's insulting him.
Yes, he's insulting him.
Through the course of the conversation and framing it as if the insults are compliments.
Like, exactly. He negs him. It's like,
he's bro.
Bro.
Like, and it's like, you're hundreds of years old. You don't know how to have conversations with people yet? The fuck?
And so Lestat comes to dinner and he's rude. He's just rude. He's rude to his mother. He's rude to the sister who I would say the sister's probably like the most neutral party. Like, he's mean to the brother. Like, even though Louis, I think, has told him, like, oh, my brother's sick. Like, I mean, if somebody could you, like think about that for a moment. If somebody that you were dating came to your family dinner and insulted your mentally ill brother, like, that is fucking crazy. Like, and couldn't right, even and, be nice.
Right. And can we also, like, again, let's lean heavy on the fact that vampires, and at this point there's only one on the series, Lestat, can read minds. You know exactly how to get in these people's good graces if you wanted to. But that's part of the end game, right? Part of Lestat's manipulation of Louis rests on alienating him from his family.
Exactly. Like, nail on the fucking head. And, like, that's why it's, like, it's classic abuser fucking tactics. Because it's, like, it is... And that's why I'm, like, the show is so good. Because it is significant that, like, everybody in Louis's life, like, that is close to him... Or that, like, Lestat, like, one by one, like, eliminates. So, like,
he literally kills Lily.
Kills Lily, which is his best friend.
He kills Lily. Then, after this conversation with Lestat, the brother waits long enough for their sister to be married off and has this great time at the ceremony before telling Louis that he loves him and committing suicide. After this, in Louis' grief, Lestat then antagonizes him and goads him further and basically takes advantage of a truly vulnerable moment, right? The night of his brother's funeral to turn Louis into a vampire.
Like, so it's just crazy deranged behavior. It's like, and yes, like, let's talk, like, so that's what happens. And it's so devastating because it's like, yes, he's basically in this really, his brother has killed himself. His mother then blames Louis for the brother killing himself. And right. Then he is like, and then he, in his
brother's... And then Lestat is stalking him in his mind, right? And like, he's sending him fucking telepathic thoughts the whole day.
And then comes like, to
I'm
his...
I'm at my brother's funeral, but I'm walking behind a fucking casket. Why are you bothering me?
Well, yeah, he's walking behind the casket, and while they're walking, Lestat actually, no, he shows up. He's like, why haven't you called me back? It's like, do you see exactly what's going on right now?
That's exactly. He's like, your brother said, Lily said, like, what's up? Why haven't you come through?
Why haven't you come back? Like, and it's like.
So he shows up and Louis pushes him away and, you know, proceeds with the funeral proceedings. And then, like, the rest of the night, Lestat's like, come here. Come over. I want to talk. Come through. Come over.
And Louis is, and like, then, I think, rightfully horrified and frightened. So he does, I think, what I think is sort of just. Natural in the situation, and that, like, he in Louis' context anyway, which is like he goes to church and he's like, listen, I know that I haven't been here in a while, I know that, like, it's been a minute, but baby, I have made some mistakes. And
and he confesses to everything. He confesses to having gay sex. He confesses to lying. He confesses to whoring. He confesses to pimping. All of it.
He is like, I'm coming clean. Because he is genuinely frightened of this, and obviously should be, of this guy. And then what does Lestat do while he is, like, having this, like, crisis, and he is horrified, and he is horribly afraid? He turns him.
Right. He commits a mass murder up in that church to prove that he is more powerful than the people Lestat ran to for help. That's important.
Yes.
That's so he's basically showing, like, these people can't protect you from me. Like, bitch, you thought
you can't never get away from me.
They cannot. And then he turns him. And then in turning him, he effectively alienates him from the rest of his family. Because the mother immediately clocks that something is wrong with him. Like, that's her fucking child. Of course she's going to sense the difference, right?
Right.
Then they see the physical change in his eye color, which has gotten tremendously lighter. He went from, like, a greenish brown hazel to very bright green eyes, like grass. So they sense that. And then he stops seeing his family for months. And then after a fight at his sister's house, or technically at their house, he doesn't see his family for years, because when they invite him to things, birthdays, christenings, things of that nature, he can't go because they're at daytime.
Right, they're daytime. And then when they do see him, they start to realize he's not aging. And it's devastating. And it is, and like the show is so great because they really highlight and emphasize like those beats, because it is devastating. Like it's devastating when Grace's child is born and he goes there and he's frightened to hold the baby because he has an urge to eat the baby.
Like, right. And like, listen, Daniel's asking what we all want to know. Did you eat,
the baby? Yeah. Like, which he never answers, by the way. Like,
he never he eventually does, or he's just like, I ran out of the house. I ran for my life.
Like,
but Louis, so basically he dumped the baby on the ground and ran out of the house as quickly as possible. And his sister finds her son lying on the ground crying. And I think it's interesting too, that when these things happen, he has these fights with his mother and his sister, who can see and who can feel these changes in him, his behavior, the fact that he barely comes around anymore. And all of this coincides with him living with this white man. And he has these massive, you know, problems. Yeah, they're scared, but they're also sad, and they're also angry. And the sister in particular also misses him. And in the midst of all of these, the person he's running for solace is a person who caused all the problems.
All the fucking problems. And so all this alienation and stuff happens with his family. And so Louis pours his, what's left of what he can do into the business, into running the business. Like, he's like, my family's not working, but I can work. Like, at least I can work. And so he borrows money from Lestat, because Lestat is like very rich, and Lestat is kind of like, I don't even understand why you insist on working, but he borrows money from Lestat and he works. He builds up his businesses. He makes it like, he circumvents laws so that they can still operate. He makes it like a world-class destination, like the Fair Play that he, like to rival the Fair Play, which is the other sort of big brothel in town. And he does it, but like you know, a man of his time, he runs into problems because ultimately these white men don't give a fuck about him and want him to fucking fail and are racist. And so
they don't just want him to fucking fail, they are masterminding his failure.
It gets
to the point where he can no longer run his business legally because they put up new laws and new ordinances. And they're like, well, we'll buy it out from you. We'll pay you 15 cents on the dollar. So not only can you no longer operate your business and you're going to lose your business, but if you sell your business, you're also going to take a massive loss.
Loss, exactly. They don't even want to pay him for what it's actually worth. And they do it on purpose. And so all of this culminates in, and so he's frustrated. Louis is so frustrated by all of this shit. And Lestat doesn't give a fuck because Lestat is doing whatever the fuck Lestat does. And Louis.
I mean, he cares that Louis's upset, right? But he's also like, aren't you above this petty human shit? And it's like, shut up, Lestat.
but Lestat, and Lestat's so, because he, And so then another thing. So before Claudia, what happens is so Louis for the first time is being very emotionally intimate with a man. Like, he is in a, they are in a relationship. Is it an abusive relationship? Yes. But they are in a relationship nonetheless.
Right. And so he's out of the closet, you guys.
He's out of the closet. They are in this relationship. And so Lestat starts seeing this really homely white girl, because I guess he is ultimately a white man, but like, she's very homely. And so, and Louis is upset by this for very fucking obvious reasons, because he's like, I thought
we was exclusive,
baby. Bitch. Like, you, I've dumped my whole family for you. Like, and Lestat laughs in his fucking face. And like, actually, that's what actually happens. He laughs in his fucking face and doesn't even care that he's hurt, like, very much hurt him. And so with that done, like, Louis is sort of like, okay, fine. And reconnects with, you know, a past lover, like a past lover.
Yeah, this is someone he'd hooked up with back in, like, what, his late teens, early 20s. He hadn't seen this guy in years. He'd been deployed or drafted, I'm not sure. It could be either one at that time. And he's back in town. They reconnected. And they still got that same vibe. They still got that same chemistry.
Yes, it's still all them same feelings. And so we find, so they, you know, go to the woods to, like, do sex stuff. And so, and then Lestat immediately proceeds to murder him. Like, immediately proceeds to murder this young man for no reason.
Not before watching them have sex from the bushes like a creep.
Like a creep. Like a weirdo. And then he's like, and Louis is so fucking angry, which he's right to be, because, like, that is crazy.
And then Lestat's reasoning is, well, it's fine if you fuck people you don't like.
Yeah. Which is like, what?
But you like him too much. I'm not fucking cool with that.
He's like, I heard your heart's dancing. And I was like, no. Like, no, this is crazy. Like,
you might love this nigga, so I had to kill him.
I had to kill him. Like, what do you mean? And it's crazy. So all of this, the friend dying, the business folding, all of this culminates in Louis murdering the man who caused his business to fail. And he murders him in a very extravagant fashion. But when he murders him, it obviously causes fucking problems, and Storyville burns.
Because he doesn't just murder a dude. He actually, like, props up the disemboweled corpse next to a whites-only sign in a very public place. And listen, dude had it coming. Not a tear was shed. Thoughts and chairs. I don't care.
Thoughts and chairs.
But also, like...
But you know how white people are.
Right. Also, you know how white people are. You've been trying to tell Louis how these people are, right? You know intimately how they are. You should have put that body in the incinerator. I know you wanted to feel like you had the last laugh, but in doing so, Louis basically jeopardized the lives of every single Black person and Black-owned business in Storyville.
In Storyville burns. But then, when Storyville burns, thus enters Claudia.
Right. He saves her from a fire which had killed her aunt, who she was living with, because Claudia has already lost her parents. And he saves her from that place. And, you know, she's charred, she's burned, she's got terrible burns, but she's alive. And he begs Lestat to change her. And Lestat doesn't want to, because apparently this is a line too far from him to change a child into a vampire. Because Claudia is 12 or 13 at this point. But he does it anyway, because he sees Louis' very, very real desire for her daughter.
And Louis, in the sort of argument that they have, Louis is like, you've taken my family. I don't have a family. Like, I need something. Like, I need this. And I think that's very significant in the sense of, like, he needs that connection of, like, family, of, like, to care for someone in that way. And that is what Claudia definitely becomes.
Helps that somebody is Black, because God knows... Never mind.
God knows. And so it's interesting. So I think in the original books, Claudia is like 9. They age her up to 14 in the show, which I think is another really great choice.
All the time they pass together, and Claudia really takes well to being a vampire. She loves Louis very much, but she has obviously much more in common with her star. But we also see, and I think this the show does this really well, because the Claudia character in the book is very, very tortured. She is a woman in a child's body, and the Claudia on the show is feeling her burgeoning womanhood, right? She's feeling feelings she hasn't felt before, because she's going through her adolescence as a vampire.
Right. She at 14 as a human, she was already sort of going through it. And then now as a vampire, yes, she's continuing that process, right? And then as Daniel very wonderfully puts it out, he's like, oh, so you had a Band-Aid baby for a shit relationship.
In being a father to Claudia, he embraced vampirism a little bit more, because he had to in order to raise a vampire child. Lestat definitely knew what he was doing. He didn't want to do it, but he knew that this was something that could possibly save his relationship. Honestly, while I feel like Louis needed this Band-Aid baby, it was also in Lestat's best interest to give him this Band-Aid baby as a means of tying them together, right?
Definitely. Like, I mean, I guess so. Like, it's, and I suppose if Claudia were different, it would have tied them together. But it's interesting. Claudia ends up becoming really the reason why Louis gets free. if he ever does. Like, she's definitely like the catalyst that basically says to Louis, like, we can't do this shit anymore. Like, this is not working. Like, this shit is, like, she's like, this shit that you do with Lestat is fucking crazy. And how we get there is incredible. So Claudia is incredible. She's a young woman. She's trying to figure it out. She's doing life. And her first sort of, and when does a Claudia realize that Lestat is not fucking it at all?
And because she thinks he's the fun, cool uncle, right? Uncle Les.
Uncle Les.
For a very long time.
For a very long time. But
as she becomes more mature, which is incredible that Louis and Claudia can evolve in maturity in a way that Lestat still hasn't.
Right.
But once she starts to mature, she realizes, like, this dude is not a good person. And perhaps I bonded with him the way that I did earlier because he is deeply emotionally immature.
Yeah, I think the first time Claudia doesn't, I'm not quite sure about Uncle Les is when he is very sort of flippant about the boy she kills.
Yes, he's like, oh, well, these things happen when you're young and you're in love, you know, and, you know, your hormones get the better of you. And it's like, she killed this boy that she really loved.
Loved, yeah. This is kind of it.
And she's broken about it. Like, the things that Claudia writes in her diary about Charlie are actually quite moving and really sweet. If we keep in mind that she's 19 years old at this point, right? Mm-hmm. She's like, I want to know what his laughter sounds like at full volume. I want to know what his tongue tastes like. I want to know, you know, what he thinks about, what he dreams about, you know, things like that. She even pretends to like ice cream when he takes her out, even though Lestat has already told the audience that human food tastes like paste to them.
Right.
Like, so she really enjoys him. She's not trying to make him into a meal. She just got carried away because Lestat taught her everything but restraint. And right. She's heartbroken. She's completely heartbroken.
She's totally heartbroken. And she, and listen, Claudia has her own issues because definitely how Claudia deals with like stress. And I think the stress of vampirism, because it's like, she, I think, is embracing what she is, but she definitely has like a tension and there's the tension around it for her because, when she's sort of really starting to, like you said, when she's, you know, turning 19, 20, 30, but she's still in this body of a 14-year-old, she's like, oh, like we said, she does start to take on that torture of a woman in a young woman, in a young man, almost child's body. And Bailey Bass is really, the actress is really great, I think, at sort of running on that line and running with those tensions. And so she after she kills Charlie, it gets really bad and she starts to really just kind of rebel and go off and she leaves for a period and she leaves for a period because she's like, I can't be here anymore. I've got to figure out what I'm doing, what I'm about, and what this life in this body means. Because, like, she asks Lestat several times, like, where are the other vampires? Are we the only ones like us? Like, what does it mean? Because she's trying to find, and this is why I also think, like, having these characters race bent is really rich, because I also feel like this is definitely like a black woman's, like, young black girl. I feel like this is such a young black girl thing of like,
she wants community.
Yeah. She wants community. Like, she's like, what does it mean to be a vampire? Like, where are the other vampires? Like, I want to be in community with other vampires. Like, there's got to be more. Like, and I feel like that is also such a black girl thing of like, if it's one thing I'm going to do, I'm going to find where the other black girls are at. Like, and she's trying to figure out this thing and can't. And so while Claudia is out there, and then Claudia just becomes resentful. She becomes resentful of Louis. She's resentful of the whole situation. She's angry that, like, she was even turned. And there's nothing he can really do. He comes up short. When she starts asking all these really salient, pertinent questions, Louis is just coming up short. He doesn't really know what to say. He's like, how do I say that? And he tells the audience this as much. He's like, how do I tell you that, like, you're only here because, like, I needed you? Like, that your turning was a selfish decision. I knew it wasn't really in your best interest, but I needed something. Like, I don't know how to make that right with you. And so so when she's out and about in the world, she does meet another vampire, and it doesn't go well.
Right. And again, these are so many things that Lestat could have prepared Claudia for, because you're literally hundreds of years old. How could you possibly think that for the rest of her life she would want to remain in this one little pocket of the world?
Exactly. And so this is like a dark, and so this is a dark period. Oh, I also think Claudia realizes Lestat is full of shit when, like, she kind of starts catching him, and she starts catching Lestat in his own lies, particularly when it comes to that white woman that he's seeing.
Lestat is full of shit all around. He's a manipulator who, ironically, after, again, being, I cannot stress this enough, hundreds of years old, is actually not a very good liar.
He's not as smart as he thinks he is, definitively. And so Claudia leaves, has a bad experience. She's sexually assaulted by this other vampire she meets. And when she comes home, she observes this scene. And the scene is, I think Louis's mother has passed, and his sister is at the gravesite of their mother. And the sister is basically like, obviously you... And by now, the sister is visibly aged. And
Louis, right. So now she's clocking that he's young as hell.
And so she's like, I know that... And so when he and the sister basically have a conversation of like, don't... And listen, no, she's known something's wrong for a while, because when she's really there to be like, I want you to take the deed of the house out of your name and put it in mine. And she's saying a lot of final things of like, basically the sister's like, you're dead to us. I've told everyone you're dead. Like, you're dead to me. Don't ever come around again. We don't really ever need to see each other. And Claudia sees this interaction, and she sees how devastated he is by it. Like, it is, even though, like, this was clearly the unspoken between Louis and his sister, the fact that it's now spoken, like, you know what I mean? There, because it's now being spoken, there is, like, this finality to it. And he is devastated. That's when it really clicks for Claudia emotionally, of like, oh, I get it. Like, it really is like, I understand why you turned to me, because, like, you needed family and you had lost yours, and I'm it for you, and I get that, and I accept that, and that's what you and I will be. And
right, because at this point she's lost all her family too. She already lost her parents, and then she lost her aunt in that fire.
Right. And she sort of gets it. Like, she just gets it. And so then she comes home, she walks through the door, the place is a mess. Like, Louis has very much given up in her absence. And thus comes literally the craziest interaction. So she comes home and she's like, Louis, let's leave. Let's get out of here. You don't need to be. She's like, that white man does not love you. You think he loves you.
The fucking child can see. And yes, Claudia's grown now, but she is a child compared to Louis, and especially to Lestat. She can see it. She can see what type of person he is.
She can see it. She knows what the fuck it is. And she's like, listen, you're not happy. This shit is crazy. Like, this man does not love you. I love you. I'm your daughter. I am your family. Like, take my hand and let's leave. And Louis basically is, like, very seriously considering it. And Lestat goes fucking crazy and beats the shit out of Louis. Like,
and listen, at first it's like gag, right? But also, did we not see the shit coming?
That's what I'm
Has
saying.
Has he not it's been abusive and controlling the entire time?
Like, exactly. It's like, this was absolutely, and that's why I think the show is so good. Cause like, if you really watch it, you like, this culmination is not out of nowhere. Like, it's absolutely something that was like building to like this moment.
Lestat is absolutely the type of person who you cannot leave. He must be the one to discard you when he's bored with you. The word narcissist is overused a lot, but he definitely fits the bill. He needs that supply. Louis is his supply. And unless and until he's ready to go out and get new supply, he doesn't feel comfortable with his current supply just walking out on him. Like, you have autonomy? You're a person? No.
Like, no, fuck that shit. Get out of my face with that. And so, like, there it is, like, and I really can't speak to enough to just like the really wonderful direction and writing on the show. And he, yeah, like, I mean, I don't know what else to say. He beats the brakes, like Lestat beats the brakes off of that man. And
oh my God. And can we talk about the racial dynamics of this? Like, first of all, Lestat is older, which I don't know whether or not that makes him stronger. But I do know that he's a much more vicious person than Louis. And when he's beating him, like, okay, yeah, it's two dudes and possibly of equal strength, but to see this white man beating on this black man who in public often has to take the role of his subordinate, right? Pretend like he's his valet or his whatever the fuck else. And then actually see him be put in the position of the inferior by someone who basically is his master at this point. It's so gut-wrenching.
It is.
You feel bad for him, but I'm also humiliated for him.
I'm humiliated. And I think that, and that's what I'm saying about, like, if you do race bending right, like, it'll work. Because, like, that's absolutely the subtext, right? Like, that's the subtext right. That's happening in the piece. Like, you can't.
Like, basically, he was in this man's bed. Like, he was a bed warmer. But don't get it twisted. Just because the master fucks you doesn't mean he loves you.
He loves you, like, dead ass. Like, I'm telling you, it's like, the show is working on so many different levels. Like, and that's why I was like, no, like, when you race bend, if you do it right, it'll be so fucking good. Like, because that is definitely, like you said, it's part of it. Like, it is, like, and, like, that tension of it is so rich. Like, and all the sort of tensions, like, between Lestat and Louis' family and Lestat and basically any black person, really, in Louis' life is, like, it's there. Like, that's a part of it. That's the subtext.
Even when he first turns Claudia, right, and then Louis and Claudia are having these private telepathic conversations and Lestat clocks that they're talking to each other and excluding him, he makes a move to end it, right? To, like, separate them and create distance by inserting himself in Louis and Claudia's relationship rather than having a separate one with her.
Exactly. Yes. And it's, and even like, and yes, and even exactly, you've nailed it. And like, and to talk about even that deeper idea of, like, you know, like, I think you could even make this connection of, like, even Claudia and Louis being able to talk is, like, isn't that, like, how AAVE is? Like, you know, like, black people are talking and, like...
Yes. And speaking of AAVE, did we clock the code switching every time Louis talks to Lestat versus any other person?
Yes!
He talks to Louis exactly the same as he talks to those racist white people in town. And so, in this way, we see that even though Louis, you know, keeps insisting that they're in this relationship, he doesn't truly feel comfortable with Lestat, or he wouldn't be code switching around him.
Exactly. And so,
and it's giving DV victim, like, it's giving domestic violence victim when he tells the journalist, I'm not a victim. And then a few episodes later, we learn that Lestat, like, put his hands on him in a severe fashion.
It is severe fashion.
I'm not a victim. Like, baby, you are a victim. And listen, maybe it's been like 100 years and you still haven't like come to terms with it, but you are in fact a victim.
And shout out to Daniel, because he says as much. He's like, no, girl, like, you're like, that's classic battered woman. Like,
right. He's like, classic. He's like, I know you want to feel like you're equals, or even at one point back in the 70s when they first did this interview, he wanted to juxtapose that they were equals. And then Daniel's like, be so fucking for real.
He's like, no, be serious.
And you are not this man's equal. You're never going to be his equal. And like, low-key, he might hate you.
Like, and I hate, and like, you got to come, you got to come to Jesus with that one. So this happens. And when, so once this really severe beating happens, it's, Lestat is kicked out of the house. He is, at least Lestat is smart enough to know that he cannot come back to that fucking house.
I mean, technically it's his house, which is wild. And I wouldn't want to stay in that house after I just got my ass beat. I would have been the one to leave, but it is what it is. He left. He had the decency to do that, at least bare minimum.
And Claudia, like she said, she is his family. And so she nurses him back to health. But it takes a really long time. And Lestat
had told us this when he was teaching Claudia how to drive, that they can be wounded and they can be injured, and it takes several months for their bodies to regenerate.
Yeah, you're not healing faster. You still heal like a human, but you will heal.
Like you won't, shit that should kill you won't kill you. It'll just take an incredibly long time for you to like be at 100 again.
And it's a series of, the show does, I think, in a series of like scenes and kind of put together, and it's harrowing. You know, his body is broken. Like, Claudia has to hand feed him animals. That's another thing. Louis doesn't drink human blood, but Claudia has to.
Yeah, he's on his Edward Cullen, you guys. He's out there eating animals and shit. At one point, he even tried, again, Edward Cullen shit, reading people's minds and finding out who was a bad person. And he's on, trying to eat them.
Yeah, he's on his angel. He drinks pig's blood only. Like, that's his vibe. That's what he's doing. And Claudia has to like hand feed him blood until he, you know, can, and not just blood, but like she's, you know, doing all the rehab. She's doing the rehab of helping him walk again, helping him talk again. And it's harrowing. And so when he does get better, or like as he is getting better, you know, Lestat, classic abuser, is like, calling the house.
I'm sorry, babes. I'm sorry.
Like, I'm sorry. I don't know what got into me. That's so crazy. I'm not like that.
You know, I would never hurt you, right?
You know, I love you so much, right?
It's so sad.
It's so sad.
And by sad, I mean fucking pathetic. Like, sir. If he had backhanded him, if he had punched him in the face, I would have been like, you know, Lestat, Ben had anger issues. He ain't even like that. But no. You beat him down. You wanted to show who was in charge here.
Speak on that. And so Claudia is like, and like when he shows up with the gifts and the shit, Claudia's just like, fuck this shit. This shit is so fucking pathetic. Like, you are so fucking pathetic. And that's why Claudia, that's why I really vibe with Claudia, because Claudia is, cuts through the bullshit. And so
she's so real for that. She's so real. This girl's sense of self-worth is honestly so much stronger than Louise.
Listen, Louise is very battered woman. I'm sorry. Like, I hate that for him, but it is what it is.
Like, even before he met Lestat, which might be the thing that honestly drew Lestat to him, he is someone who is used to trying to take up as little space as possible around white people and minimize himself and lower his gaze and doing all that shit that, you know, by the time a black person in that time becomes an adult, they do almost automatically without giving it much thought. And that could be why Claudia is a much more resilient person than Louis, because she was still a child when she was turning She hadn't learned all of the pleasantries and niceties of race yet. But all of these things that Lestat criticized are things that work to his advantage in grooming Louis.
Absolutely. And it's definitely, it's that, it's also being closeted and having, and it, and on top of being closeted and having to deal with that and right. what that means. And so the gifts, so Lestat just does this classic thing. He buys him all his favorite stuff. He rolls up to the house with like a brand new Rolls Royce, like, baby, I got this for you because it matches your eyes. Like, and none of the gifts, none of the calls or the sort of shit is cutting through until there is one particular gift that cuts through. And it's like Lestat went to the local recording studio and laid down this track for him, which honestly, and it works. It works. Horrifyingly, it works. And, oh my God, it's just so ugly.
We hate this for him.
I truly hate this for him. And so he swims the Mississippi and like goes to where Lestat is, and he's like, a record, you wrote me like a record. And he's like, okay, but you're here. Like, and literally he's like, Lestat is in bed with that white lady.
Because he doesn't know how to not, Lestat's problem is he doesn't know how to be alone.
Like, you know what? That is his problem. He does not know how to be alone.
So he's willing to beg, borrow, steal, beat the brakes off of, and manipulate so that he doesn't have to be.
And so he's literally in bed with this white lady. Antoinette, that's her name. I'm like, what is this white lady's name? That's her name, Antoinette. And Louis is like, the fuck. But that's it. They have makeup sex, like really hot, rough makeup sex, but it is ugly. It is, and it's sad. It was sad. I was sad.
I was sad to watch that too. Like, and you know what, the whole time I'm watching that scene, I was thinking, you know what I was thinking about? The Netflix series Made.
Oh yeah.
When Alex and Sean get back together. And like, so Alex, Sean never put his hands on Alex like that, but he was like really controlling, right? Mm-hmm. And then he waits for this very vulnerable moment after she has like, you know, her mother has this breakdown after finding out that Basil sold her house, and then she breaks into the house, all that stuff. And Alex is like breaking down because like she can't handle all this shit. And like Sean swoops in. And it kind of reminded me of that because, you know, similar to that, Lestat knew exactly how to get under Louis' skin and exactly what he needed to do. And, you know, the circumstances he had to create in order to get Louis back in his bed. And it worked.
And it worked. It worked like gangbusters. And that's what happens. And so, and granted, they have this sort of, Claudia's not with the shits. Claudia does not like this, in this new development, but they do have like.
Nor should she.
But they do have this sort of referendum of like, if you're coming back here, new rules. If you're coming back here, and my girl Claudia, my sister, like the realest bitch in the room, she's like, and just so we're clear, I'm only doing this because Louis has said that he wants to do this, but I don't fuck with you, and please know that I do not fuck with you in this house ever.
Right.
And she's right. Also like, she's like, you're not anything to me beyond shit. And so,
I don't even think he stopped to consider what that felt like for Claudia to deal with Louis like that. Mm-hmm. After her own sexual assault. What does that look like to the child? What does it look like to the child who's been sexually assaulted? But you love her, though.
Right. No, that's real. No, that's real. And I don't think Louis appreciated, like, how hard it was for Claudia to see him like that.
Right. And then, like, now you're like, well, my man. Bro. Girl. Stand up.
Stand up, Louis. That's true. So basically they all start living together again. And Claudia, and it becomes untenable because that's the thing. Claudia and Lestat just hate each other. They both hate each other. And Claudia really is the realest girl in the room because, like, Lestat, I think in order, like, to try to manipulate her, he, like, weaves this sad story about, like, how he was made. And he's like, you know, I was beaten. I was, like, in this thing. Like, you've got to understand. And Claudia's like, okay, and? Like, what is that? Like, boo-hoo. Like, boo-fucking-hoo. That doesn't mean you treat other people like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, she's basically like, what is that supposed to mean to me, though?
what does that mean with for how you treat Louis, though? Like, let's have a real ass conversation. And so they all get back together, and like they all sort of have this unit, and like everybody tries to get along for the sake of Louis, but like it's not working out. It's just not working out. Nobody's happy. Claudia's not certainly not happy. Lestat isn't happy. Claudia like takes shots at Lestat whenever she has the chance. So that's like all the time. And to be real, Louis isn't happy either. Like Louis is very much battered woman Stockholm syndrome. I mean, we're talking about.
At this point, I think he's only with Lestat because he doesn't know any other vampires that he could be in a relationship with, and he honestly doesn't want to know.
That's what I'm saying. He's given up. And, like, and that's the thing. Like, Claudia has not given up. Like, Claudia, basically every day, Claudia's like, let's leave. Let's leave. Let's leave. Let's leave. Because, and Claudia's like, when I was, you know, Claudia talks about how, like, when she went to college, she goes to college. When she went to college, she's like, she did research. She's like, I think I figured out where the other vampires are. We can leave. We can find other people like us. We can make a better life. And Louis has given up. Like, he's like, I don't think so. I think this is just, like, it for me. And to the point, but Louis, I mean, at least to Louis's credit, he understands that, like, she has to go. And he understands that she's right to want to go. And he understands that she's got to go out there and, like, and try. And she deserves to live. And she deserves to be free. And so Claudia sort of concocts this plan to escape Lestat.
Can you imagine? They have to escape, y'all. They can't just leave.
She concocts this plan. And she sets up the train ticket. She does all the things. And she's like, I'm getting on the train. She's like, and literally to the final fucking minute, she is like, you can come. You can come. Like, I'm getting on the train. He's off. Lestat is off, you know, killing, doing whatever the fuck he's doing. And you, while he's off killing, you can come with me on the train. You can just come and we're going to go. And Louise like, no, it's fine. And even furthermore, Louis is like, no, because even somebody has to distract Lestat while you try to make a run for it. And so she does, and she gets on the train. And then Louis comes home shocked to see her because, you know, she tells him she's leaving and she leaves. And she gets on the train and he knows, like, when her time her ticket is and all that good stuff. And so when he comes home, he's shocked to see her. Lestat even being like, oh, you know, she's going to go to Germany, but it's 1943 by this point. So the war has just started it's 1938. So the war has just started. And so Claudia's there and he's like, can you believe she was going to go? Good thing she hasn't, because, you know, everything's, you know, happening over there. And Louis is very shocked to see her. And we, the audience, are then shown the scene of, like, what happens when she got on the train, which is that Lestat somehow figured it the fuck out and is like, no, you're not allowed to leave, because if you leave, then Louis leaves. And, well, Louis can't leave me, so you've got to fucking get back to that house. Girl, I was like, baby, when that happened, I was like, oh, y'all in slavery for real. Like, y'all.
Okay, but can we talk about it? Y'all, there was really some house slaves out here.
Y'all.
They might not have been out in the sun picking that indigo, that cotton, that tobacco, but they was out here making sure that Massa's house was happy and his bed was warm by force.
By force, like a hostage situation. And that's when things get really fucking serious. So after that, when Louis realizes even Claudia can't leave, that's when Claudia and Louis get very fucking serious about the Claudia gets very fucking serious about the hostage situation that they are in. She's like, Claudia's like, listen, I don't know what we gotta do, but baby, we gonna get free. We are gonna get to freedom.
It's giving Harriet Tubman.
It's giving Harriet. And so that comes, so that brings us to sort of the final act of the season and ending it. And that is Claudia hatches this plan. Claudia hatches this plan of like, okay, this is how we're going to get free. This is how we're going to leave Lestat. Like, this is what we're going to do. I've thought about this and this is what we're going to do. And basically they plan to essentially use Lestat's narcissism against him. And it works. It works like gangbusters. Even though Lestat attempts to double cross them, or he thinks he thought he'd caught on to the plan and had subverted it, but did not. They successfully leave. But then shout out to Daniel, who points out that like, oh, but you didn't kill him. You just injured him and then ran for your lives.
Yeah, they didn't think that shit through.
It's sort of giving, like, it's not necessarily that he didn't think it through, but it's just that he, and this is sort of when we even learn, and I think, once again, this is another sort of brilliant turn from the show, we kind of learned that Louis, we've sort of suspected it throughout the narrative that Louis is an unreliable narrator, but, like, this is when we really sort of have, like, incontrovertible proof that Louis is definitively an unreliable narrator, because and that's why the Daniel Malloy character is so great acting as like the audience surrogate, because what the audience fails to pick up on in terms of like Louis explaining the story from his perspective, the Daniel character is always there to like call out in real time, very wonderfully and masterfully done. And so Daniel is like, okay, but like you just said that like you took this nasty beating and you're still alive. So Lestat similarly took a nastily beating, but you didn't burn him. You didn't put him in the incinerator. You just put him in the landfill where you knew that there would be lots of rats for him to feed on, to fix himself, to heal himself. And that's really what Claudia was mad about, is that you couldn't go through with it. You couldn't, because he's like, because Claudia was ready to do it. Claudia didn't give a fuck. Claudia's like, let's kill this white man and be finished. But you, because of that fucking DV, like, because I guess it takes 7 times and we're only on attempt number 3. It takes 7 times on average to leave an abuser, and we're only on attempt number 3. You did it so that you knew that when nightfall would come, that he could leave and snatch rats in the landfill and restore himself back to health. So what's the fucking truth? And Louis is shocked. Louis is shook when somebody dares to like put it together.
Right, even though you've literally been giving him the puzzle pieces, now that he's put it together, you feel a way. But did he lie?
Is he lying? And so the season finale ends with basically a sort of understanding that Lestat is still out there, but then we get these brand new great turns of Rashad, who is this Indian guy who has sort of been in the background the whole series, is actually Louis's new man. That's his man.
Right. He's also what, like, his familiar, yes? Or is the familiar someone else?
Oh, I don't know
who was the one who was taking Daniel's food orders and stuff like that? That's the familiar, right?
Yeah, that's Rashad.
Okay. Yeah, so he's basically his Guillermo, if you guys watch What We Do in the Shadows. But that's his man. That's
That's
his
his
man.
man, and we find out that Rashad at the end is a vampire himself, and he's like somebody who's also very famous in this, but he's like the vampire, not Merrick. He's it's an A. It starts with an A. Oh my God.
Rashad is a vampire known as Armand.
Yes, the vampire Armand, who is another famous person in the Anne Rice lore. And then sort of earlier in the series we get this flashback that, Rashad, like Armand and Louis have kind of been rolling together since the 70s. 'Cause when we get this brief flashback with Daniel when he met Louis the very first time, we see Rashad, we see Louis, but then and we see that Louis has become, he's doing the thing that he's always known how to do, which is pimp, hustle. So he's sort of like at this gay bar selling drugs, and Armand is there, Rashad is there, and we're left all these sort of crumbs for, season two and season three, like we said, which has been renewed.
Right, so in summation, Lestat isolated Louis from his entire family in order to turn him into a vampire and then gave him his own vampire family in the form of daughter Claudia. And then, when they were sick of his bullshit, his control, his abuse, he basically had them on house arrest. And then they had to injure him severely in order to get free. But in the interim of all the times that has passed since Louis and Lestat have seen each other, Louis got himself a new man and a new life. And when Lestat finds him, he's going to be pissed.
Yeah, gonna be pissed. We'll see. I don't know. They're doing the books, but like it's I'm ex basically I'm excited. It's incredible. I don't know how to speak enough to like the one how wonderful this show is. Like this is the best show on TV right now that you're not watching. In a sort of like I feel landscape of like glut and sort of and I don't know, stuff that's just fine. This was really, really good.
Agree.
The production design is gorgeous. I really can't state that enough. The production design is really incredible. The direction is really wonderful. Sam Reed, as much as we're like Lestat is a crazy person, which he is, we're not, but Jacob Anderson and Sam Reed, who play Louis and Lestat respectively, are giving, I think, some of the strongest performances on television. I definitely felt a type of way when they were not included in the Emmy noms this year because they absolutely deserved it. I don't know that I can speak enough highly to what an incredible performance, how incredible like the actor who plays Lestat is. Like he's really turning in an incredible performance. And so is Jacob
Listen, it's
Anderson.
psychopath, but make it art.
Yes, it's psycho, but make it art. The writing team, obviously, incredible, so good, really just doing wonderful things with the story and with the beats and the tensions and like the subtext of the piece. It's really good. You need to watch it. That is my grade is great.
Agreed. My grade is very great. And not only that, like deeply refreshing. Like, give me good storytelling again. Just give me
Listen,
storytelling
stand
again.
up.
I just want a story, bitch. I'm just trying to be entertained with something that's not full of ridiculous filler content and plot holes.
I think, and yes, like I feel like every turn, every moment is so earned on the show. Like I don't, and I just, and just like in general, I don't think, and not, I think not just for a fantasy show, but I think for a show in general, it's just so earned. The performances are so good. Let me tell you something. I feel like we've said this of like you can always rely on AMC and FX for a motherfucking hit, but like baby, you can always rely on AMC and
And
FX
before
for a
people said, "What did
motherfucking hit.
AMC do?" But no, never forget that AMC gave us Mad Men.
Never forget.
Like, if I want a good show, I'm going to go to AMC or I'm going to go to FX, and they're going to deliver every time.
They're going to give me what I want. They're going to give me what I need. They're going to give me things that I didn't even know I needed or wanted, and it's going to be a time. But listen, because of everything that's going on, the show is coming to Max for a limited time this spooky season. I think starting in October, spooky season. So listen, be seated, watch it, enjoy it. Particularly since who knows when this strike is getting resolved and baby, everything is canceled and on hold.
Right. Listen, pay them people that money so I can get my programming, please. Thank you. And there you have it, folks. This is everything that we think made Interview with the Vampire good, gothic, and heart-pounding. If you'd like to check out this series, Interview with the Vampire is streaming on AMC. And if you've enjoyed this episode of The Good, the Bad, the Basic, please be sure to share with your friends. If you're a patron, be sure to check out our Interview with the Vampire playlist if you haven't already. We'll be sure to update it as the series continues. And with that, we conclude our first impression season. Tune in next week as we debut our dystopia season with our thoughts on the rebooted sci-fi classic Battlestar Galactica.
The Good, the Bad, the Basic is currently streaming on all major podcast platforms, so be sure to tune into our regular weekly episodes on the go. Leave us a review on your preferred platform and share our weekly episodes on your social media. Follow us at The Good, Bad, Basic on Twitter and at Good, Bad, Basic Pod on Instagram to get in on our daily content. Also, be sure to follow our SoundCloud page, The Good, The Bad, The Basic, where all of our weekly episodes debut. If you love this sort of content and want more, become a show producer and patron over on Patreon. You can find us at patreon.com/goodbadbasic. Your support allows us to keep bringing you our regular weekly episodes as well as exclusive bonus material. Until next time, bye everyone.